Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. How do people get started? Where do they get stuck? Does their family really follow along when they want to get organized? Wouldn't you love to peek behind the curtain and see how other people in the 100-day program are actually getting their home organized? Well, that's what we're going to be doing from now on the Wednesday new Organize 365 podcast. I would love to introduce you to your fellow Organize 365 members that are on this home organization journey with you. Let's see how they have gone from disorganized to organized. Kirsten, welcome to the Organize 365 podcast all the way from Germany.
Thank you.
I'm so excited to talk to you. I know we kind of talked a little bit at Embrace and we've talked a little bit on social media, and I just can't wait for you to tell your story to everyone.
Yes, thank you for having me, and we'll see how interesting my story will be.
You know, we've had a couple Canadians on the podcast. I love the international stories in addition to the stories of American women who are transforming their lives, because I think there's more that unites us than divides us. And there are more similarities in the English speaking world anyway, than there are differences when you get down to what's going on inside of the house.
Yes, absolutely.
So how did you first find Organize 365?
I found you through a book you had in a bundle a long time ago. It must have been, I don't know, 2012, 13, somewhere like that.
So, wow, all the way back in the beginning.
Yes.
Yeah, so I used to have ebooks. I don't have ebooks anymore, but the first 3 years of my business, that's totally how I grew my blog, was I had a Sunday Basket ebook, organizing direct sales ebook. I think I had an ebook about starting your professional organizing business. But the Sunday Basket ebook was the one that a lot of people found.
Yes, I think it was that one.
Yeah, I put it in every bundle I could get it in.
for you.
it's a great way to find people, right? Like, you're like, okay, I like organizing. I'm going to download all this stuff. And I think a lot of you have found me through an online summit or an online bundle or something like that, just a Google search. So tell us about the people who live in your home with you.
I live with my husband and our foster daughter, Selena. She will be 16 in November.
Okay. How long have you had her in your family?
Almost 10 years.
Okay, so a long time. So since you're in Germany and I'm in America and I don't have knowledge, although I have been to Germany, can you tell us from your perspective, what are some differences in German households versus American households?
They are a lot smaller. So whenever you talk about your square footage, I have to recalculate, because we measure in metrics, so it's different. But houses here are a lot smaller. We don't own that much stuff, but we are catching up with you. So we are getting there.
Oh, how interesting.
Yes. So that is the biggest difference, I would say. And yeah, the square footage we have. So we don't have so many rooms and so many messes to organize and things to fill and kitchens to fill and cupboards to fill. But yeah, it's enough to organize.
So when I was in high school, I went on a ambassador trip and I went to 7 countries. And at that time, communism was part of the Soviet Union. And so it was an ambassador trip through Dwight Eisenhower. And so you went to a communist country and then 6 non-communist countries. And I had 3 homestays. So I stayed at a home in Austria, in Spain, and in France. I stayed at a farmhouse in France. And then we also toured all over Europe, and Czechoslovakia was the communist country that I went to at that time. But we flew in and out of Germany. So I didn't even get to see anything good in Germany. All I saw was the airport. But it counts. Like, my feet have been on the soil in Germany.
Yes. I mean, you would love Germany. Yes. German history, you would geek out about everything. Take a trip to Berlin and I think you would be in heaven. Your family would probably be not very excited because you would go to every single museum there is, and they are a lot.
Yes,
history.
And my husband actually loves history too. Like for our anniversary, we were supposed to go to Italy, and I would like to spend a lot of time in Europe. But I remember, I mean, this is like 30 years ago, when I was in Europe, how much smaller everything is in Europe.
Yes.
The cars, the roads, the houses, everything. Well, the churches are gigantic, but cars and everything is so much smaller. So when I do the Organized 365 podcast, I have been in a lot of European homes and European countries a long time ago. And then in college, I went to China. So I went to Beijing. And again, I was part of an ambassador program there, and it was for early childhood centers. I don't even know how I got invited to that one. But I was there with a delegation, like I ate in the Great Hall of the People. And again, their housing is even smaller than what I saw in Europe. But when I did the research for my last book and square footage sizing of homes, I was shocked to learn that Australian houses on average are larger than American homes.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. If you think of the old farmhouses, they are really big.
Yep.
But normally or typically three generations have been living in the houses. But the problem is they are not anymore because the sizes, the family sizes are getting smaller and smaller and smaller. So the problem is these families have their family homes, which have been passed on, you know, there for years and years and decades. And now the generations are sitting there and thinking, what am I doing with all this space? So there are a lot of families who have to rethink how to use these huge farmhouses because, I mean, to tear down, nope, we are not doing that. But yes, we have to find a purpose for all this space we have now.
Well, and that's what happened in England with those huge homes, those huge, magnificent homes that you see in Downton Abbey. And as you're watching that whole story of Downton Abbey and you're watching how the financial struggles of being able to have all that land, like that wasn't just the Downton Abbey story. I've been looking into it and there were just so many homes that they literally burned them to the ground because they couldn't maintain them anymore. Like, it's just amazing. So I just bring that up to say that there are small homes in every country. There are large homes in every country. We're changing how we use our homes, especially with the pandemic. And so there's always somebody that has a bigger home than you and always someone that has a smaller home than you, but we can just deal with the home that we're actually in. But I just thought that was a fun little tangent we could go on with our international flair that we have in this podcast going on. So back to your story, Kirsten, why did you decide to start getting organized? Or why were you, I mean, like, that's 8-9 years ago when you found my bundle. This has been a long journey for you.
Yes, it has been. So we became foster parents in 2011. Mm-hmm. And within 6 months of the placement, we got a bunch of diagnoses. And due to the trauma our foster daughter had experienced, she was diagnosed with reactive attachment disorder, which is a really hard diagnosis. So for all the people who don't know that, basically means that the child is unable to form any kind of attachment, of healthy attachment to the primary caregiver. So we were told that it would be best if we would end the foster placement. Wow. But by that time, we were like 6-7 months into it. And we were like, no way. She is ours. She's staying with us. We are not giving her up. And so we continued. And as predicted, it was hard. It was really hard. And in 2016, I was diagnosed with burnout syndrome and severe anxiety. So I had to find something to get control over my life back as best as I could. So I knew I couldn't control my foster daughter or the circumstances with fostering, but I could control my house. So that's where it started. I mean, you know the story. You tell the story all the time and it's like, I was there. I looked around. I was like, what happened? And I mean, I'm a secretary. So I know how to organize and I know how to organize paper and I know how to keep places clean and, you know, to keep structure. Nope.
Right.
I looked around and it was chaos everywhere, in every area of my life. So I began listening to your podcast and you were in my ear constantly and I started decluttering. And in 2018, on your Black Friday sale, I jumped in.
The one and only time I've ever had a sale. So there will not be another one. It's a good thing you guys jumped on that because I was true to my word. We have never had one before or since.
And and it was, I think, one of the very only times you send stuff internationally. So I jumped on it. I bought the Sunday basket and it was a game changer. It was a game changer. My house was starting to get better, but the paper, which comes with fostering and diagnoses and everything, and your Sunday basket was a game changer. I wish I would have known about the Varia Mama binder. I think that would have been another game changer. But okay, so I started to organize my paper and everything went into the Sunday basket. I must admit, I didn't really get the system until I started watching the Sunday Basket Club.
Yeah.
That was the second game changer.
Okay, so let's stop. You're getting so many game changers. All right, so first of all, I want to say I have many friends whose children have a reactive attachment disorder diagnosis, as we have in our family as well. And for those of you who are adoptive parents, foster parents, you can get this diagnosis if you're not in that situation, but usually it's adoptive parents. It is an unusual, painful experience, and it is not short-lived. It's extremely difficult to process as a parent, especially when you've wanted this child for so long, and also to love the child and try to meet their needs when they reject you as the parent. And to know that it's not you and it's not them, it just is. And it's really hard. The only thing you've wanted for all this time is to be a mother. And now you're finally a mother and then the child rejects you. So it's like this weird mind game. And I agree with you. Like I got to the same point. Well, the only thing I could control is myself and my house. And I can't control, you can never control any other person. But you do expect to be able to parent your children. And when you have a child with reactive attachment disorder, basically, you're not allowed to parent. You don't get to be the parent.
The hardest thing is that it comes in waves. And, you know, you think, okay, we got it. She loves us. She feels safe. She knows we are here for her. Mm-hmm. We take care of her no matter what. And all of a sudden, you have no idea what the trigger is.
Yeah,
she's testing you again. She is testing the boundaries. She is doing everything in her power to just get you to say, nope, I can't do it anymore. Mm-hmm. That's it. I draw the line here. And that is the really hard thing because it never stops. She will never outgrow this. She will never feel safe. And it's so hard to know that your child never really feels safe and connected. And that was something that we really struggled with for a long time. That is so, so hard. But I mean, it's so rewarding because on the other side, we have now times when everything is not normal, whatever normal is. But you know, she loves us. She feels safe. She knows that this is her family, and she really vocalizes that. So that is that is great. So yeah, it's worth it.
Yes. So sometimes it's called oppositional defiant disorder. Sometimes it's part of a bipolar diagnosis or a mood disorder diagnosis. You'll see these tendencies, and I do agree with you. For us and for some of my other friends who've seen success in parenting during this time, you really have to look at your parenting more as a coach and more as a community builder and less of an authoritarian figure. And I do agree that there is a great resolution that you can get to because we all have weaknesses, right? Like this is just the identified weakness. It's a very difficult one, but it does not have to stay at that level of difficulty permanently. But the changes that are made and the wins that you have are 18 months to 3 years in the making. It's not like you put up a chore chart and 30 days later, we've got a new habit established. I mean, we're talking about consistent effort, focus, unwavering, non-deviating change in behavior of yourself for years, and then you'll start to see it in the child. It's unusual.
And that's why I love your podcast. You spoke about this so many times. I don't know how many times I heard you talk about a struggle you had with your children and how you just took it and tried something new. Then it worked. And it was so reassuring that we will get there. So our daughter is, I think your daughter is 18, 19? Yeah, so we are 3 years behind.
Yes. Isn't it fun to kind of watch somebody that's a little bit further ahead?
Yes, yes. And, and you have no idea how much hope that gave me in so many situations. I love your book, How ADHD Affects the Mind, because I think trauma has very similar effects on the brain as ADHD. So to just being able to explain to teachers, to other people, that the executive functions are not developed yet, and she needs different structures and different kind of support, it is really a game changer. And this gave me the words to really explain something. And I love that book and I recommend it all the time.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I think parenting is really a journey in learning more about yourself. Like I was raised, you know, children are to be seen and not heard, do as I say, not as I do. And I did it. Like I obeyed. My children are like, I don't know what you're talking about, but I'm going to do this over here. And I'm like, what the heck? Why does this not work for me? And I think I'm a better person because I changed my parenting, but I never give parenting advice because none of those books worked for me. None of this stuff and any of that stuff ever worked in our family and for our children. And for a while, I felt guilty about that. But I think that children are different today. Like the issues that they have are different today. And I think the world is different today. And so I try to share enough that you can learn, but not so much that my kids' lives are on display.
Yes, I mean, absolutely. The guilty part, yes. And the changing of parenting because of all these diagnoses, we had to throw everything. I mean, she's our only child. So luckily, there was nothing I could compare her to. But it was really hard to stop comparing her to other children because, yes, she is different. But so what? She is a really great, great person. Yep. And she's different, but awesome.
I think we're finding out the majority are.
Yes.
Different is more normal than normal. And so I don't know who this fictitious normal is that we're trying to achieve, but I don't think any of us have that. Nope. And so when we give up perfection, we can also give up this idea of normal too.
Yes.
Okay, so I just have a weird question that people ask me all the time and I don't know the answer to. Does European paper fit into the slash pockets in the Sunday basket?
Yes.
Okay. Is it bigger or smaller than our paper?
Hold on. So it sticks out a bit, but not really by much. And it works. The basket is wide enough so that the paper gets in there. I love the slash pockets. They are the best. And we have nothing similar in German or in Germany or in Europe. Not even from any other brand. So, and they are ingenious. Yes, it's great.
Okay, good. Well, I'm glad that the paper fits.
Yes.
So let's talk about the international shipping real quick, because some other people are like, yes, it is amazing. I would say about 10% of our audience is international, which I think is a pretty high percentage. And you guys are very vocal too. You're like, hey, we're over here, ship it. So we shipped internationally for a while, and then the whole trade war thing has blown up. And shipments of everything is ridiculous. And it was costing us like $100 to ship packages. And I thought, well, nobody's going to believe that's how much it is. So now you can buy internationally and you go through a third party service and you pick the service and we ship to the third party service and then they ship to you. And guess what? It's $100 for you to get your stuff. And so we're internally having the discussion. Well, do we just say it's $100 and we ship it knowing that if we ship it, it'll get there because we have to do the customs forms anyway. So I just keep hoping that the international trade gets better. But when you add the pandemic to the international trade issues that were already going on, there just aren't as many boats and airplanes flying. And so it's harder to get cargo on anything, get it anywhere. So we're working on it, people. We know that you want it. There is a way to get it, but it is such a huge cost.
Yes. I don't know if it would be possible, you know, to just ship the slash pockets without the Sunday
basket.
The actual basket, because mm-hmm. I mean, you can find a basket, but the slash pockets are the things that are unique. And
yeah.
And the package would be a lot smaller, so mm-hmm. it wouldn't be that expensive. And it's another just, thing.
It's all expensive.
Yes, I know. But if you... or if I would buy the all access or the paper pass thing, whatever it is called, the invoice would say 495. Mm-hmm. Is that right? So I would have to pay custom for that. So
we've already changed that. So if you buy a binder, it is the $75 cost of the binder. Mm-hmm. But if you buy all access, or like, let's say you buy the 100-day home organization program, which is $500, and we ship you the planner, we put on the invoice $47 for the price of the planner, not $500 for the price of the course.
Yeah, perfect, because otherwise the custom would be, okay.
Yes, exactly. Yes. But we even have it, I mean, we're doing really good over here. So for our customs, when we say the binder, we're like binder shell, two business card inserts. Like we have it broken down to every single thing that's in there. So if they open the package, we have itemized everything that's in there. So we're really good at dotting the I's and crossing the T's for customs. When I say we, I mean the shipping department. I have nothing to do with it. I'm like, oh, that's too much work. That's too much detail.
Details.
I don't want to know any of those details. Just ship it to them. Like, how hard
can I just do a shout out to your customer service and shipping department? Because you shipped all the goodies for the Embrace conference. I mean, my package was a week late, but my package made it to Germany and it was so great. So thank you to everyone in your customer service. They are great. They are awesome.
Oh yes. So those Embrace packages. So we will be doing Embrace again in June and we are going to have a virtual and an in-person ticket. The in-person ticket, you'll be purchasing it as a virtual in January. And if possible, we will switch it to in-person in June. But if not possible, it will stay virtual. But we are getting the hotel and everything ready just in case the pandemic lifts and we're able to do it. You participated in Embrace. And when you bought your ticket, it was not a virtual event.
Nope. It was not.
So you were going to fly over the pond and come to the U.S.?
Yes, and get a hug from you.
Oh, have you been to the U.S.?
Yes. Okay. I spent 12 months as an au pair in Connecticut when I was 20. And we spent five vacations, 3 weeks in different places. I love the U.S.
Oh.
Yes. It's my favorite place.
Oh, really? So where have you been in the U.S.?
We went to Florida three times in 2016 with our daughter to Disneyland. It was her first international flight, and we just started with an 11-hour one. Why not?
Why not?
What could go wrong? Nothing. They have TVs, haven't they? So No. It worked out fine. And my husband and I spent 3 weeks at the West Coast, San Francisco, mm-hmm. Yosemite, and it was great. And our honeymoon, we went to Tennessee, Atlanta, Georgia, that area.
Very nice.
Yes.
So you plan trips to the U.S. like I'm planning trips to Europe.
Yes, I am. But with the pandemic and everything.
I know. I'm like doing jigsaw puzzles and stuff over here. And people are like, what do you want your hobby to be? I'm like, traveling. Traveling is my hobby. Give me the RV. I will travel the world.
No, not the RV. I want a hotel.
All right. So let's get back to your organizing. So I love to know now that European paper fits in the slash pockets. That is good to know. What has happened since you started on this journey of organizing that you did not expect to happen?
My family got on board. So
they did.
Yes, they did. My daughter knows where to put her school paper. My husband knows where to put every other paper that comes into the house. And not only do they put it there, but when they're looking for something, they're first looking in the Sunday basket. And I'm like, yay, because I don't know how many times I heard the question, Mom, where's that paper? And I'm like, where do you think it is? In the Sunday basket? Go look in your slash pocket. It's in there. So that's awesome.
And did that just kind of naturally happen?
Yes.
I say that and people, I think, don't believe me, but it really does kind of naturally happen.
Yes. Yes. Because I put it in there every week and, you know, you vocalize and say paper goes into the Sunday basket. Mm-hmm. And one day it clicked and now they're doing it.
I'm
thinking about ordering the kids program for my daughter, but because it's in English, I'm not sure if she can follow it, but I really want to set her up for success. So I think it would be great.
You'll have to let us know. A translator for you. I only do English. My second language is sarcasm. And I took 4 years of French. I ended up in France and I couldn't communicate at all. Now, what's interesting is I took sixth grade Spanish, like after school. And when I was in Spain, I could totally speak that. It just must be the kind of language.
Yes, French is really hard because they pronounce every word together. It's really hard. It's really hard.
So maybe I just pick an easier language?
Yes. don't pick German.
So my cousin learned German and he also learned Mandarin because he got a degree in international business. And my father always said that German was the language of business.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But German is really hard. The grammar is quite difficult.
Well, I'm going to play the American card. Everybody tends to learn English, which is great because it's easy for people in other countries to learn what I'm saying. It's not so great because I have no idea what you're saying in your language about me. Or if ever English does not become the default language, I will have nothing to fall back on. So it's not necessarily the smartest play, but for now, we're just going to keep it all in English.
Yes, it's fine.
So what do you have more of now?
Time.
Yeah.
A lot more time.
What are you doing with it?
Yes. Now, yes, here we are with a lot more time and my daughter turning 16. So we are in the transitional phase. So now I'm at the phase where I can really start looking into finding my unique purpose. So you say that on the podcast.
Yes.
Over and over again,
yes.
You want
yes.
women to have time to find their unique purpose,
yes.
And I'm there, and it's great. The Embrace Conference gave me the boost to just do something for myself, combined with the pandemic and a lot more time on hand because I don't need to drive my daughter to lots of places. So I could really look into things I like to do and what do I want to do, which after 10 years of being a stay-at-home mom is quite the task. Because
it's daunting, isn't it?
Yes, it is. So, but it's really exciting. So I started a couple of courses, online courses, and it's so much fun. And through the paper retreat for your book launch, I found an organizer. And she does focus workshops. So meaning we meet on Zoom and we spend time just focusing on whatever we want to work on. And you have no idea how much stuff I got done with her help. And it was, it was great. So I love the community. That is something that you should be really proud of.
Thank you.
The Organize 365 community, be it on Facebook or during the Embrace conference, it's so great. There are so many fantastic, like-minded women there, and they are really supportive. And yes, I met so many great ones. So join the Organize 365 Facebook group. It's amazing.
It's so hard, isn't it? Like, so when my kids were little and when you got your daughter when she was six, like you would meet the other moms that had kids that age because you're at wherever you are and the kids are playing. And so you'd meet other women that you could hang out with. And I don't know, middle age can be kind of lonely.
Yes.
You know, the kids have their thing and you end up with more time, but what do you want to do with that time? And that transition and having people who are also going through that transition and trying to find out what they want to do and be and have is easier to do in community, but it's hard to find people who want to have those kind of conversations and go deep like that. And
yes.
Organize 365 people want to.
Yes. Yes. They want to. They want to mm-hmm. go deep. They want to be there. They want to connect. Mm-hmm. Whenever there is someone with a problem or posting a picture and saying, I don't know what to do with this space or whatever, they are people cheering them on and saying, you can do it, or giving advice, or just saying, okay, you got that. And yeah. It's really cool. So yeah, it is a great, great community.
What do you have less of?
Anxiety and stress and lost paper, because I don't have lost paper anymore.
So anxiety and stress. I mean, I hear that in every interview also. Can you like articulate that more or?
Because I felt like a failure because mm-hmm. I couldn't keep
Me
up
too.
With the appointments. I went to appointments without the right paperwork, or I was sitting there and wishing, oh, I should have brought such and such paper with me because I could explain it now, or I could just prove it now. Mm-hmm. So I felt because I'm a secretary, so this should come normal to me, but you know, it wasn't. And whenever we had a meeting with Child Protective Service or anything, the school, I absolutely knew I had the paper, I had the paperwork. Mm-hmm. And I could answer the questions, and that gave me a lot of confidence. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't as nervous before all these meetings or all these appointments, because I knew I have everything I need, and I can prove whenever there's a question or something, I can just show the paper and say, yeah, we already tried that, already did that. So the anxiety is really, really down.
You know, I love how you said that, because I say that too. The paper gives you the confidence and it gives you the power in those conversations. You already knew that information. Organize 365 did not make you a better parent or wife or homeowner. It just helped you prove to the world what you already were. You already were a great mom. But when you went into those meetings and you didn't have that piece of paper that backed up what you already intuitively knew, the room didn't take you seriously. But when you have the paper, all of a sudden they look at you like a professional, like someone who has deserving of a seat at the table. But you didn't change.
Yes. And I think that is something we as moms need to work on, our mindset, that we think we are less of because we are the stay-at-home mom. I mean,
right.
No, just because I'm not paid, I mean, working somewhere or for someone, doesn't mean that we are not doing excellent job. So
right.
Yes, it really gave me the confidence to say, here is the paper and I feel in control.
And then they listen.
Yes.
Yeah.
A lot more.
Yeah.
It's like you always say, take a binder with you.
Any binder.
Yes. Any binder. It doesn't matter
right.
if it's your water bill or
right.
something else.
Right.
Just bring the binder.
Bring the recipe binder. Walk
yes.
in there with confidence.
Yes. And it's absolutely working.
Great. Is there anything you wish that you had known sooner?
No, because I think I wouldn't have been ready, or it wouldn't have been the right time. So
yeah.
I needed to start with listening to your podcast first. I needed to really shift my mindset on organizing, on paper, on everything, and then taking the next step with the Sunday basket, it was the right step at the right time.
Yeah, I think that's good too. I think I was just talking to my friend through Voxer. She is like, she's climbed two mountains. She's about to climb another mountain. I don't even get, 3,000 steps a day. And I said, oh yeah, that's right. I've got to work on my health. I need to join the gym. I need to do this. I need to do that. And I said, but I am making changes. Like, I'm going to the chiropractor on a regular basis this year. I've started these hormone cream things this year. Like, I am taking baby steps. And then I reminded myself, I'm still in the trying to change my mindset about what I want to do for my physical health and my food health. And going to fast food is no longer enjoyable because my mindset has changed. Like, Lisa, you can't keep doing that, which is really a bummer when your mind changes and your habits haven't changed yet, because then you're on your way to get the delicious Culver's onion rings and you're going, you're really not even hungry. I don't even know why you're going there. Like, you don't even want to have this, but you're going to eat it anyway. And then your mind is and you're like, ah, and you know that when you're to that point, you're about to change your habits to match your mindset because the mindset has now changed. But in my observation, it's 18 months to get your mind to change enough. Your habits can change your mindset, but usually if you're more successful, your mindset changes first. And then the habits kind of follow to where your mind has changed.
Yes, because otherwise I think you need a lot more willpower and it takes a lot more effort if you change the habits first and the mindset afterwards. The other way around, it is a lot easier. I mean, it's definitely not easy, but yeah.
It's so hard to like quantify changing your mindset, or what is the steps to changing your mindset? And like, I've kind of watched it happen in my husband lately, like things that we've been talking about forever were, because I talk about mindset and all this kind of stuff a little bit and how your thoughts create your reality. And he's like, that's just hogwash. Like, I don't even know why. Like, who are you listening to? Like, that's just, there's no way. And lately he's been saying, you know, when I play golf and the guy next to me says he's going to hit it on the green every time he does. And then I say, I'm going to shank it. And I do. He's like, but when I say I'm going to hit the green, I hit the green. He's like, you know, I think that what you think about, you bring about. And I'm like, yes, yes. But he has to relate it to sports. I don't care. Like, however you're making, but he's starting to make the connections. He's like, you know what, in this instance, and he's starting to realize that your thoughts create your reality. But when you start talking about this too much, especially if you're in like Christian circles or other circles,
people
are like, you've gone off the deep end. You're like, you know, and so you have to kind of couch how you say what you're saying. But it's true in all instances. Like, when you want to make a change, you do your due diligence. You learn about it. You read about it. You study it. You think, you daydream about what it would be like to live that way, to be somebody who runs, to be somebody who's debt-free, to be somebody who's organized. And you try it on in your mind before you try it on in reality. And I think that's what a lot of the podcast is. Like, I say all the time, if you've been listening to the podcast for 18 months before you actionably do anything, you're doing it right. Like, you're doing it right. I don't know what to tell you.
Yes, absolutely.
Just keep listening. Just keep listening. All right, last thing. What advice would you give to someone who is just starting out?
Join the Facebook group, then get the Sunday basket and watch the Sunday basket club, the Sunday ones, or the replays if you are like me in Germany and it would be 1 in the morning. Not a good time to do your Sunday basket. So I watch the replays, but it helps to really get through it. And the slash pockets of the week, the different colors and everything. Yes, it makes a lot more sense. You get a lot more out of it and you really understand the system better if you join the Sunday Basket Club.
Yeah, so it used to be that the Sunday Basket Club was $99 and we just gave you the membership if you were in All Access. And then last year, about this time, I realized that, you know what, that is what people need. And so we just made it part of the Sunday Basket system. So the Sunday Basket system is $97. The Sunday Basket Club is now included, which is $99. So basically, we just gave you free membership into this virtual 90-minute session we do about 48 times per year. So every Sunday you have a live you can watch or a replay you can watch. And then the way Monique is running the club now and how we've kind of changed it is we deep dive into one of those colors every week of the month. So the first week we talk about your pink slash pockets, and then the next week we do purple and then blue and then green. And if there's 5 weeks in a month, then you get to deep dive into your favorite color or maybe a color that you need to really take ownership of. And then we start over again. It really just layers on that new habit that you're doing and that community that I think we're all striving for.
Yes, yes. The community and the questions that other participants ask, it is so helpful. Mm-hmm. So even though I don't have a lot of the paper you guys have in the US, so it's very, very different for me, but the system is still working. It is still, we have house-related bills, we have personal things, we have finance stuff. What am I forgetting? We have our household things. And it doesn't matter where you live. It's working.
I'm so glad. It has been so fun to talk with you. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
You are so welcome. It was really great.
Are you loving these new podcasts? Oh my gosh. I could talk to you guys forever. And I love talking to you actually in person. If you have a story and you would love to share it on the podcast, just go to organize365.com/Wednesday to apply.